Good morning. Good morning, Aldersgate. It is so great to see all of you out on such a beautiful, beautiful Sunday. What a day that God has given us, and we are gathered together to worship His holy name. As we come into the worship space, we're aware that there are a lot of things going on in our lives, and we're also aware that there are a lot of things going on in the life of Aldersgate. And so, I want to share with you a couple of announcements before we begin our time of worship together. Number one, there is an incredible opportunity tonight to hear some wonderful music. I do hope that you all have put 7 p.m. tonight on your calendars and that you will come and hear our chancel choir and a whole bunch of others gather together to present Faure's Requiem and other works. It is going to be a fantastic, fantastic concert. I want you to bring friends. I want you to bring strangers. I want you to bring people you almost don't really even like, because their hearts will be touched by the love of God in this place. And that's what making disciples is all about. Is that good enough, Jeff?
Amen.
Amen. All right. So that's the concert tonight. The other thing that I wanted to mention was in a few Sundays from now, we are going to have the wonderful opportunity to receive into our midst our confirmation class of 2013. And I am delighted to tell you that we have 10 kids in there that are dynamite. They have been attending all of the sessions. They've been on our road trip to Barrett's Chapel. We have just had a wonderful, wonderful time getting to know these guys. And on the 19th of May, which is Pentecost this year, Pentecost, the birthday of the church, the day when the Holy Spirit came and lit on top of the disciples and allowed for them to do all the things that God told them they could do. And we are going to celebrate confirmation that day, all together, right here in the sanctuary, 10 o'clock, one big, happy, wonderful service. So that's another occasion to bring family and friends, come and support these great students that we've been working with. So those are really two major things that are going on. There's a lot of other announcements in your bulletin. I do hope that you'll take a look and read all of them and see how they apply to your lives and participate in all the things that you feel led to participate in, of which there are an abundance here at Aldersgate. We are this Sunday at the third and final stage of a three-part series about caring for creation. It was inspired by a book written by Edward Brown named Our Father's World. The book is trying to allow for us to understand a pathway towards mobilization, towards helping the earth to be better, to be healed, to be restored. And so we've taken a look at the whys. We took a look last week at a practical example. Jack Chitama came from Pocomath and shared how they built a brand new retreat center, and they did it with the creation in mind. They did it caring for creation, and the decisions that they've made going into the future continue to care for creation. And so we're thrilled that he was here with us. And today we're going to continue, and today we're going to talk about mobilizing ourselves. We're going to talk about the ways in which and the reasons why we can move forward in this mission, and hopefully we come away with a little bit of passion in our hearts and maybe one or two new things that we didn't know before. I certainly have through this, and it's been a wonderful experience. So, friends, as we've gathered together to worship God today, let us now prepare our hearts to do just that.
Thank you.
Please stand and join me in the call to worship. The earth is the Lord and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it.
For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers.
Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors.
That the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory?
The Lord of hosts,
he is the King of glory.
Let us now sing our processional hymn number 152, I Sing the Almighty Power of God.
Amen. You're invited to be seated. Friends, let us pray. Everlasting God, we invite you this morning to come and be with us here in the midst of your creation, that which you have given to us to care for, given to us to prosper with, given to us to look over. We invite you, Lord, to send your Holy Spirit into this place this morning and illuminate our hearts. Fill us up that as we worship you, we would feel your mighty presence alongside us in all that we say and all that we do. And for all of this, we give thanks to Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I invite you to participate with me here. It's a great pleasure today that we have a baptism. And so you can follow along starting on page 39 and going forward from there. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's acts of mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift, offered to us without price.
I'm Cheryl Merritt. I'm one of the co-lay leaders. I serve with John Ginelli, and it is my pleasure to present Kira Lynn Gleason for baptism. I'd like to invite Kira up front with her parents, Jacqueline and Mark Gleason, and godparents, Sarah LeBraise and David Bacon.
There you go. Come on up. All righty. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, please say, I do. Wonderful. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord, in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? Will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? So please say, I will. Amen. Aldersgate, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ?
We do.
Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care?
With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this person with the love and forgiveness that she may grow in her service to others. We will pray for her, that she may be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Let us join together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and the New Testament. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty.
Do you believe? Sorry. Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified and died and was buried. He descended to death. On the third day He rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father and will come again to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Eternal Father, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you sent in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell of God's mercy each day. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Declare
his works to the nations, his glory among all people.
Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and she who receives it, to wash away her sin and clothe her in righteousness throughout her life, that dying and being raised with Christ, she may share in His final victory. All praise to you, eternal Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns, Spirit, lives and reigns forever. Amen. Kira Lynn, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now it is our joy to welcome our new sister in Christ. Let us respond through baptism.
You are incorporated into the
Christ's royal priesthood. With joy and thanksgiving. Welcome all of you. Members of the household of God, I commend Kira Lynn to your faith, to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love as members together of you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the mysteries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and everything. God may be glorified in Christ Jesus. The God of all grace, who has called us to eternal glory in Christ, establish you and strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may live in grace and peace. Amen. All right. Now, I'm going to take her for a little walk, and I think she's going to let me. And friends, I invite you to turn to the hymn, Child of Blessing, Child of Promise. And as you all sing that, I'll give you a little closer look. And as I do that, there's a candle up here that you can light that's very near the edge of this. And you can place it right back there when you're done. You can light it right off of this Paschal candle. All right. Let us sing together. You want to go back to Mama and Dada? We were having a fun time, weren't we? Friends, can we go ahead and welcome our newest sister here? Congratulations. Thank you.
For those of you who are able, please stand for the reading of the gospel. I will be reading from the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verses 9 through 20. This can be found in the New Testament section of your pew Bible on page 188. For this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him as you bear fruit in every good work and as you grow in the knowledge of God. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And you're invited to be seated at this time. As a part of our creation series, actually, Jeff, Shirley's first, the connection to creation.
Sorry.
As a part of our our creation series, we have attempted, at least over the course of these 3 weeks, to include elements within the service, whether they be prayers or songs or what have you, of ones that reflect towards the purpose, the songs that speak of creation or directly talk about caring for creation, the ways in which we've prayed and other aspects of the service. Last week, for instance, we had a voice come here in the name of Jack Shatama to share the way in which Pacomath is caring for creation in the building of their new Pacomath River Retreat Center. It was a desire to have other voices as well speak, and so we've asked Shirley Rollins today to come and share from her mouth how it is that she cares about creation. Shirley, welcome. Thank you.
Good morning. First of all, please do not expect Jack's eloquence. He was wonderful last week. I admired the way he could just stand there and give his message from the heart. So please bear with me. I care about God's creation because God calls all of us to be good stewards of his entire creation, not just we human beings, our environment, the creatures that surround us. We've been hearing a lot lately through our own messenger and the local and national media about steps that we can take, measures that have already been put into action to help us all improve our environment. You know, the word recycling easily comes to mind. We've all heard that. We've gotten our receptacles and so forth. But just 3 weeks ago today, or yesterday, on April 6th, we had our annual giant recycling event here at church. We call it the rummage sale. But there are steps we can take every day. The decisions that we make about how we use and reuse the things we already have. When it comes time to make a decision about whether to purchase or perhaps not to purchase something that maybe we don't really need, and how we go about conducting our everyday life. These decisions that we make determine our individual footprints, and, you know, carbon footprints are the term now. But we make visible and invisible imprints on our environment every day. You know, each spring, we're witness once again to God's glory in his recreation. How many of you have been moved, as I have this spring, with the beautiful sounds of the songbirds, the sights of the trees budding, the flowers blooming, and the wonderful sunshine that warms and regenerates us? Let's all be mindful of this and see if we can't lessen our impact on the earth. Make God proud of us for our stewardship. Thank you.
How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts.
My soul longs, indeed it faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God.
O Lord of hosts, my ruler and my God, at your altars even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young.
Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise.
Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion.
As they go through the valley of tears, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools.
They go from strength to strength. The God of gods will be seen in Zion.
O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God. Look upon the face of your anointed.
A day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere.
I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness.
For the Lord God is a sun and shield and bestows favor and honor.
No good thing does the Lord withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed are those who trust in you.
Friends, won't you join me in standing as we share together the hymn of preparation, All Things Bright and Beautiful. want to tell you a story about something that a few of you may have heard of, some of you may not have, but it's a story that comes from Pastor Louis Giglio. I'm not entirely sure that's how you say his name, but it's fun to say anyway. Louis Giglio is a pastor out of Atlanta, and he often goes around sharing the Word of God around the country and around the world, and his home church is in Atlanta. He was out on the road one time and was finishing up a big long tour, and at the end of the night, somebody came up to him and was greeting him, telling him how great the service was and how wonderful he was and everything, and he was very thankful for that. And the guy asked him, you know, where are you going from here? What's next for you? I know you're at the end of your tour. And Louis said, well, I'm going to head back to Atlanta, and I'm going to preach for my pastor for a couple of Sundays, give him a little rest. And this guy says, oh, that's pretty cool. That sounds like fun. What are you preaching about? And Louis says, oh, well, we're excited. We've created a series of sermons on the glory of God in the body, okay? And the guy gets all excited. He says, ooh, that sounds fantastic. He says, I'm a molecular biologist, and so this is really interesting to me. Tell me about your sermon. And Louis shares that he wasn't quite ready to sort of give the whole discourse for his sermon, but he kind of plodded through it as to the major points of what he was trying to say. And the guy comes up to him, or he's there, and he says, well, what's your hook? And Louis says, hook? He said, I don't have a hook. He said, oh, well, he said, Pastor, you got to have a hook in your sermon. You can't very well preach without it. He said, I don't have a hook to my sermon yet. And this guy says to him, well, here's your hook. It's laminin. Laminin, Louis says, with a sort of the deer in the headlights look. Laminin, what's laminin? Now, if any of you know what laminin is, kind of hold it for just a little bit if you've already discovered what this stuff is, and I'll get to it for the rest of us. Laminin. And the guy gets all excited. He said, yeah, it's laminin. That's your hook. That's what you got to talk about. He said, you've got to speak about laminin. You got to tell the people what laminin is. You got to make sure they know. And Louis said, well, fine, great, it's wonderful. What is this thing? Tell me. He says, oh, it's a cell adhesion molecule that's in your bodies. He says, it's one of between 10 and 60,000 protein molecules that's in your body. And you know, we don't even really know how many protein molecules are in your body, but this is one of them. And this laminin is organized into a certain structure, and that structure tells the cell exactly what to do as a part of the body. It's laminin. You got to know about this stuff. And Louis says, you know, and the guy goes on, it's the glue that holds your body together. It's like the rebar of the human body, you know, that metal that they put into concrete to make it stronger. Yeah, he says, that's what it's like. It's rebar. It's holding all your membranes together. And Louis says, that's awesome. I got to know about, what is this laminin? What's going on with this stuff? And the guy said to him, well, I'm not going to show you what it is. What you need to do is you need to go home. You need to go into Google Images, and you need to put laminin. And he said, I don't even know how to spell laminin. Are you kidding me? So the guy hands him his business card. So L-A-M-I-N-I-N, laminin. Here, take it and go. That was it. He went home. Louis goes to his computer, types in laminin into Google Images, and is blown away by what he sees. He can't believe it. He looks at the screen, and he says, oh, my, this is incredible. Unbelievable that this thing... He said, it's absolutely, it's my hook, it's exactly what I needed. And he was blown away. And I guess you guys should probably see what this laminin thing looks like, right? Allow me. You thought this lovely sign was just here on its own? No. I shall leave that sign there. Did you all see this? And behind it, I shall show you the scientific structure for this cell that holds our bodies together, called laminin. This is laminin. This is what it looks like. Every bit of our human existence, in fact, anything that's living with protein that holds it together, has laminin binding it, like rebar, like glue, holding it together. If I could show you in here real electron microscope images, it looks just like this. Laminin, this protein in your body holding you together, is in the form of a cross. How incredible is it to think that when God put us together, that when God formed us up at the beginning of all time, when God decided to make us the way He made us with all these different parts that make us what we are, that at the very basis of that, at the very center of that, holding it all together, is a protein that is designed and built by God Himself in the form of a cross. How cool is that? Colossians 1:17, He, Jesus, is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. Laminin, in the form of a cross. Unbelievable, unimaginable, unfathomable by our brains. But this is what God has done. This third part of this sermon series is about mobilizing us. And it has occurred to me over life and by leadership within churches and other nonprofit organizations that I've had the pleasure to be a part of, that people don't get mobilized unless they get passionate about it. My question right now is, does that excite you? Anybody in the room? Does that give you any passion in your heart for Jesus Christ and the love of God in your life? You see, if I wish for us to mobilize as a church, and I do believe that the healing of God's creation is at the foundation right here in our midst, I believe that the church is uniquely qualified to mobilize together to change the course that planet Earth is on right now. And I believe that seeing something like laminin and knowing it's in us, and realizing that Jesus Christ is holding even ourselves together, is something that can cause passion within us and can help us on our path and allow for us to mobilize as a people. I think there are three steps in mobilizing ourselves as a people. Number one, I think that we need to change our viewpoint a little bit and to appreciate creation. And I know many of us are sitting here today and we're thinking, well, Pastor, I really appreciate creation. I appreciate it all over the place. I love creation. But that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is a flip-flop of how we look about the world. We're looking at the world to say, not what does the world, you know, how does the world impact me, but waking up in the morning and saying, you know what, I appreciate God's creation so much that I want to investigate and see the way in which I affect creation. That's creation appreciation. Creation appreciation is not looking out at Brandywine Creek State Park from the hillside there and seeing the lovely trees and the water down there and a fish or two and saying, how lovely is your dwelling place, Lord? How lovely is your dwelling place? That's not bad to do that. But if the church is to mobilize to take care of this planet Earth that God has given us, we need to flip-flop it. And we need to say to ourselves, sitting on that same hillside, we need to look down there and we say, Lord, how am I affecting that water? Tell me, Lord, how am I affecting the way those trees do their job? How am I affecting it? Now, and they've started this ages ago. You're familiar with the terminology carbon footprint, right? You know, creation appreciation in this regard is saying, literally, what is my carbon footprint when I walk about this place in my little one square foot of earth that I occupy at any given time in any given place? How am I affecting it? That's creation appreciation. And what I think creation appreciation does then, it leads to part two, which is creation healing. Because my experience in life is, when you realize the effect that you have upon somebody or something else, all of a sudden, you may change the way in which you act towards that thing. If I go around life and I realize that I'm hurting somebody, and I actually then realize it, I change what I'm doing so that I don't hurt that person. At least that's how I try to operate my life. If we realize and understand that the thing that we're doing is causing harm in the world, then we begin to change that thing around. The world is trying to tell us. Earth is crying out these words to tell us. And I believe the church is uniquely qualified to help and should be the pushing point. Once we begin to heal creation, we realize that the part three comes into play, and it's a lifestyle transformation. Lifestyle transformation, that's the third thing. It's doing things differently and having it come as second nature to you. But it's more than that. It's saying to the people around you, wouldn't you like to also do things differently with me so that we can change the world to the better? But it's more than that. It's groups of you within the context of church or outside or anywhere else that you want to be in your families. Groups saying to other groups, hey, why don't you hold hands with us in this effort so that we can make things better for the world and do things a little bit differently? Let me give you some, this could be the boring part or this could be the exciting part. I'm not sure. For me, it's the exciting part. Let me give you some statistics. You ready? I won't do them all, but some of them are pretty cool. How many of you go to the grocery store and use plastic bags? Sorry, I'm going to out you right here. Anybody go? Come on, please. Seriously. How many of you go to the grocery store and use the plastic bags? Okay, here's what I want you to do. Okay? At the very least, reuse the plastic bags. Take them back with you and use them again. At the step up from that, use paper and use it over and over again. Best case scenario, though, get some canvas bags and use them again and again and again for the rest of your life. If just one quarter, 25% of U.S. families used 10 fewer plastic bags a month, if a quarter of all of us used 10 fewer a month, we would save, this number is staggering, 2.5 billion, with a B, billion bags a year. How are those bags made? Petroleum. How are they transported? You know, think of all the aspects of that. All right, just a couple of more. How many people in this room are qualified to save one more additional aluminum can in the next rest of your life? Every hand goes up. Tough crowd, Jeff. Woo! The energy saved from one recycled aluminum can will operate a television set for 3 hours and is the equivalent of a half a can of gasoline. Think about that. We're talking, and there's tons of these. Insulating your attic can save 20% on your energy. If all of us turned down our central heating thermostat by 1 degree, it cuts your fuel consumption by 10%. Think about that. Some have done it. I see hands going up. I did that. There's tons of them. Creation appreciation leads to creation healing, leads to lifestyle transformation. And I think one of the best ways that we can firm up lifestyle transformation and this whole care of creation process is for us to do what Tony Campolo did, but in each one of our lives. Tony Campolo wrote a great book, How to Rescue the Earth Without Worshiping Nature. Towards the end of the book on pages 105 and 106, he offers his personal covenant. And I want to read it to you. And I want to challenge you to think about a covenant for your own life. A covenant with yourself, a covenant with God, and a covenant with all your neighbors. Here's what Tony said. This is Tony Campolo. You all know Tony Campolo? Okay, a lot of hand raising this service. I'm wearing you out, I know it. Tony Campolo, here's what he writes. I commit myself to a life of personal purity and spirituality. I commit myself to being a co-laborer together with Christ in rescuing all of creation from injustices, pollution, and other works of the evil one. I believe in the truths of the Apostles' Creed. Therefore, I believe that God created both the heavens and the earth and all the creatures therein. I will not kill animals needlessly nor for entertainment. Instead, I will care for the animals and assure food and shelter for all creatures for which I have accepted responsibility. I promise to be loyal to the church and to encourage the local congregation to which I belong to be faithful in declaring God's salvation, both for persons and for the structures of society. To achieve the aims of this covenant, I commit myself to regular prayer and to a support group that will keep me faithful to its principles. Tony Campolo there is talking about creation appreciation. He's talking about creation healing. But the bigger thing, he's talking about lifestyle transformation. Edward Brown's book, Our Father's World, is where this series has come from. Mobilizing the church to care for creation. I think these things that I've spoken about today are the foundation of us mobilizing, of us caring about creation. I encourage you to go to Amazon or wherever your favorite book seller is and get a copy of this. I think it'll challenge you. I think as you read the pages within, it challenged me for sure. I think it'll challenge you to shift a few things in your life. And I think that in the end, as we come forth, like the old TV show and the movies that came out, it may seem like a mission impossible, but what's the end of those movies always? the agent doesn't always win in the end? We're going to win in the end, but we're going to do it only when we gather our hands together. Grace to you today and peace. Amen. Let us stand together and sing. You may be seated, and as you do, let us prepare our hearts to give our tithes and our offerings today. Let us do so in prayer. Everlasting God, we come humbly before you now, realizing the greatness of what you have given to us. And so we pause now to give back to you a small portion from that, and we ask you, Lord, that you would bless it and that you would anoint it, that it could be magnified and multiplied. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you.
Friends, we're going to move ahead to our recessional hymn today. It is on the back of the recycling form that was in your bulletins there, so you can see all the ways in which you can recycle. On the back is a hymn at the dawn of your creation. The interesting thing about this hymn, well, number one, it's about all of what we're talking about, but it was written by Carolyn Gillette, the wife of Bruce Gillette, the pastor of Limestone Presbyterian Church, who have been very on the forefront of caring for creation. I'm thrilled to know Bruce as a colleague and a friend, and so we'll share together this song. You know the tune. It's Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. Let's sing together our closing song. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit abide with you this day and every day. Be strong in your faith. Be strong in your walk with God. Let all that you do, let it be done in the name of Jesus our Savior. Amen.